fake hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
Hi, I'm Rex Weiler. I write a column that appears at the Greenpeace International website. Now, this year marks the 40th year of climate meetings with no real significant progress. But this last December, I was really struck by the short and brilliant speech by 15-year-old Greta Thunberg at the International Climate Conference. And I have to ask, why are global politics so dysfunctional that the UN climate meeting requires a 15-year-old Swedish grade school student to speak the truth? Why does a coalition of youth outside the COP24 climate meeting articulate a more comprehensive action plan than the delegates inside? The world's youth have seen and heard enough from the deplorable political process, from these compromised delegates, corrupted political appointees, and criminal corporations who sabotage these important international discussions. Look, the truth of our ecological crisis is not that difficult to observe. Fragile ecosystems are unraveling all around us. We were warned decades ago, for example, by the 1972 Limits to Growth Study. We were warned by William Catton's 1980 book, Overshoot, about the dangers of unrestrained growth. We were warned of impending ecological collapse by the 2009 Nature article, Planetary Boundaries, showing that humanity has breached 7 critical tipping points. And by the 2012 Nature article, Approaching a State Shift in Earth's Biosphere, in which 22 renowned international scientists alerted us to, and I quote, irreversible planetary scale transition that has been unknown in human experience. And yet, despite all the data, the science, the warnings, politicians and these delegates fly around the world, stay in luxury hotels, and dither about our children's future. Meanwhile, carbon emissions rise, species blink out of existence, rivers run dry, and ancient forests burn. It is no wonder, and a welcome sight, that the world's youth have finally seen enough and they are not impressed. Now, during the latest COP24 climate conference in Katowice, Poland, Swedish student Greta Thunberg finally said what the politicized compromise delegates have failed to say. During last year's heat wave in Sweden, Thunberg gained world attention by leaving school and staging a strike outside the Swedish Riksdag. Here's what she said. Why should I go to school if the adults are going to ignore the science and threaten my future? She demanded that the Swedish government reduce its carbon emissions, and her actions inspired student strikes in over 270 cities around the world. As an interesting historical point, by the way, Thunberg is a direct descendant of Swedish chemist Svante Arrhenius, who predicted global heating from carbon emissions in 1896. At the climate conference, speaking on behalf of Climate Justice Now, Thunberg chastised the delegates and member nations for failing to take action appropriate to the climate crisis. Here's what she said. I quote again. Until you start focusing on what needs to be done rather than on what is politically possible, there is no hope. We can't solve a crisis without treating it as a crisis, and we need to keep the fossil fuels in the ground. She was correct, and she added this. If solutions within the system are so impossible to find, maybe we should change the system itself. Our biosphere, she said, is suffering and being sacrificed so that rich people in countries like mine can live in luxury. It is the sufferings of the many which pay for the luxuries of the few. Here, Thunberg spoke directly to the errors and injustice of our economic system. She exposed the false market-based solutions that have displaced the genuine solutions to climate change and ecological collapse. And again, I quote, "You only speak of green eternal economic growth," she said, "because you are too scared of being unpopular. You only talk about moving forward with the same bad ideas that got us into this mess, even when the only sensible thing to do is pull the emergency brake." Earlier in Stockholm, Thunberg had remarked, "We've had 30 years of pep talking and selling positive ideas, and I'm sorry, but it doesn't work, because if it did work, the emissions would have gone down by now, and they have not." Meanwhile, outside the conference, 330 organizations from 120 countries presented six demands for climate justice. These included an end to fossil fuel subsidies, a rejection of false solutions, the techno fixes and offsetting schemes, and in their place, real solutions that are, quote, just, feasible, and essential. They called on the rich nations whose historical carbon emissions have caused the climate crisis to accept their fair share of climate reparation costs by honoring their climate fund obligations. And finally, the coalition demanded that the UN conferences end corporate interference and sabotage of these climate talks. Now, I'm not just impressed that Greta Thunberg and these other speakers are young. I'm more impressed by the fact that their analysis is entirely correct. First of all, Thunberg is correct about years, decades really, of pep talks and positive ideas that have failed to reduce carbon emissions. Government representatives have been meeting about the climate crisis for 40 years since the first World Climate Conference in Geneva in 1979. During that time, human carbon emissions have doubled, from about 5 gigatons of carbon per year to last year's record-breaking and shocking 10.88 gigatons of carbon per year. Meanwhile, CO2 concentration in the atmosphere has grown by 22%. From 337 parts per million back in 1979 when we started these climate conferences to over 412 parts per million today. These results represent an enormous failure on the part of world governments and an enormous failure of the discredited theories that market forces and carbon taxes and geoengineering could remotely solve this ecological crisis. Thunberg is also correct about the unfulfilled promise of green growth, so-called. The notion of green or sustainable growth became popular in 2012 at the UN Conference on Sustainable Development in Rio de Janeiro. This idea was dreamed up by the World Bank, which is entirely dedicated to economic growth, and by the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is also entirely committed to industrial growth. However, recent studies show that green or so-called sustainable growth are delusions. In 2018, anthropologist Jason Hickel reviewed the recent data and wrote in the Foreign Policy Journal, and I quote, "Green growth is based more on wishful thinking than on evidence." Furthermore, a 2012 study by German resource economist Monika Dietrich and her colleagues showed that even under optimum conditions, decoupling economic growth from resource use has not occurred and cannot occur. The United Nations Environment Program came to a similar conclusion in 2016 and 2017 studies. They predicted that by 2050, with continued economic growth, resource use would double from 90 billion to 180 billion metric tons per year. Whereas, ecological footprint data shows that a sustainable level of resource use is about a quarter of that amount, around 50 billion metric tons per year. And by the way, we breached that sustainable resource limit 18 years ago in the year 2000. Rigorous studies have consistently linked economic growth to material use and to energy use. A 2012 paper, No Way Out, The Double Bind in Seeking Global Prosperity Alongside Mitigating Climate Change, written by Timothy Garrett at the University of Utah, where he performed the calculations and determined that for every single dollar of global economic growth, we required approximately 9.7 milliwatts of energy. Look, there is no escape. We cannot grow our economies without growing our material and energy throughput. Garrett wrote, and I quote, "Global CO2 emission rates cannot be decoupled from wealth through efficiency gains." You see, wealthy nations such as the UK and the US have claimed to decouple energy use from GDP, but only because they have exported the energy-intensive industries and now import finished goods, cars, computers, and all trinkets, which represent a massive embedded energy. UK and US have simply exported their energy requirements to places like China, Mexico, and Southeast Asia. Now, based on recent data, Thunberg is entirely correct that green growth is a delusion. And finally, Thunberg is correct that the only paths out of our predicament require that we change the system itself. Global heating, biodiversity loss, environment, toxins, nutrient cycle disruption, and all the other ecological challenges we face arise as symptoms of a single larger biophysical reality. Humanity is in a state that ecologists call overshoot. We've overshot the habitat capacity of the entire Earth. There is no way to grow out of overshoot. All genuine solutions to overshoot require that the species contract, not grow. As Thunberg says, it is time to face these facts, to slow down, and to pull the emergency brake on economic growth. And this is the reality that the climate conference delegates are too scared to voice. Our status quo economic system, industrial capitalism, requires growth to survive. Without endless economic growth, the $250 trillion global debt to bankers and investors cannot be paid. And as Thunberg says, our biosphere is being sacrificed so that rich people can live in luxury. The bankers, the investors. The biosphere is being sacrificed so bankers can receive their interest payments to keep stock prices up and to avoid facing reality. But the current system is biased for the rich to get richer, as multitudes suffer, as the ecosystem collapses, and as other species disappear. Economist Jeremy Grantham concurs in The Race for Our Lives when he states that capitalism and mainstream economics simply cannot deal with these problems. Corporate sabotage of the climate talks is nothing new. If we go back to the 1930s, we find that Standard Oil, General Motors, and Firestone Tires acquired and sabotaged public transportation throughout North America purely for the purpose of replacing efficient public transport with gas-guzzling cars. And today, in Nigeria, Ecuador, Canada, in the Arctic, and all around the world, these, and even at these UN conferences, oil companies are still sabotaging the public interest for their own profits. Now, it gives me, and I hope all of us, some measure of hope that young leaders appear to be among the few who have the courage and insight to speak the truth. Greta Thunberg closed her short talk by announcing, quote, "We have not come here to beg world leaders to care. We have come here to let you know that change is coming, whether you like it or not." Her speech stands as one of the most hopeful and promising moments for ecological realism that I have observed in recent years. This is Rex Weiler. You can read this column called "The Youth Have Seen Enough" at Greenpeace International. Thank you very much. Trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charge the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.